Welcome to Life and Love Nuggets, where licensed therapists Brent and Janice Sharp share how you can thrive in your life, your love, and your relationships. Hello, friends. Welcome to Life and Love Nuggets. We're glad that you're back with us. We've been doing this series. We kind of started calling it just about people, but it's mainly specifically about parents and their adult children. And adult children and their parents. So we're kind of looking both ways. Today we're focusing on how do you parents that have adult children have good relationships with them? This is the goal, is to have good relationships with our children long term. We wanted them to launch. We want them to go and be on their own, but we want to stay connected with them. And so how do we do that? You know, we have to respect their culture, even though we are flesh and blood and have lived in the same household for a long time. There's a whole bunch of influences that all of us have been impacted by. I mean, our four kids growing up in our house, we grew up together, but the influences they had during their growing up were different than ours. The schools they went to, the friends that they had, the media that they watched, all of those things really do form us and impact our lives. And so we're not going to understand each other fully. I think that's just a given. Mm-hmm. And we always tell people the idea of completely understanding another person is not even a thing. There's just no way.
It's not possible.
It's not possible, right? Unless we do brain transplants or something. We're never going to see things quite the same way. Mm-hmm. And so one of the greatest challenges is accepting difference, where people have different viewpoints on things and realize that there's value in both of those. Now, our culture struggles with that. We all struggle with that. But this is going to be one of the most difficult places we have. Mm-hmm. But we've got to pay attention to that going into it as a given. We are just going to see things differently at times. And so, as we talked last time, each generation produces kind of a cultural shift. And it impacts all of us in all kind of different ways. And so, our perspectives, priorities, our attitudes, our goals, objectives.
How we parent,
lifestyle choices, all those kind of things can be. So, parents of adult kids. Here are some guidelines to kind of help us in these relationships so that we can really, really enjoy this, which is the ultimate point.
Yeah. So it's parents of adult kids and adult kids to their parents. It really is both ways. Yeah. And we've talked about this before. The primary thing is to respect them as an adult. They get the chance to choose what they're going to do with their life.
Yeah.
They can choose where they live. They can choose their jobs. They can choose whether they're coming home for the holidays. They can choose whether they're going to come to Sunday lunch or not. We are adults and we have choices. And it applies to both of us as adult parents. I think we're adult parents. Do you think we are?
I think we are. Sometimes I wonder.
I need that little sticker to put on my car that says cleverly disguised as a responsible adult.
Yes.
I've been faking it pretty well for years.
Yes,
but,
yes.
You know, you may think your kids are too busy or you think they should be home more or they should be at your home more. You think they should be doing things with you. You might think they need to work less, or in some cases, you might think they need to work more. Maybe they should spend their money on different things or getting more education or taking more time to relax. We all have our opinions of what others should do with their lives, and we have to suspend that. But that also goes for adult children. You know, you may think your parents are too busy. Right. Little Livy, our granddaughter, told us we traveled too much because she wasn't seeing us enough. And we were like, sometimes we're working. We're not just traveling. But you may think your parents are too busy and they should be home more. They should spend more time with their grandkids. Mm-hmm. They should be working less or taking more time to relax. Or your parents may be the ones that you think they need to get out of the house. They need to do more. They need to be more social. They need to save more. You don't like the way they are spending their money. They're spending their money on different things than what you would do. But it's reminding ourselves, we all have the right to decide what we do with our lives. And we have to respect each other, all of their life choices, whether it's money, work, parenting, time management, and everything else. The key is We've got to respect each other as adults.
So it really does come down a lot to respect. We're going to talk, use that word quite a bit here. And so respect them as adults. They are grown-ups now, and they get to make choices. And doesn't mean we always like their choices, or it's the best thing that we think is for them or for us or whatever, but we have to learn just like we would with anybody. We have to treat them. We're separate people now. We have to treat them with that kind of respect. And so another way we respect them is their home and privacy. And so if we're visiting, so mom and dad, if you're visiting your adult children's home, you don't look in every closet and drawer. you may want to vacuum and pick up toys, but we ask, do as you would with a friend. You wouldn't go in, hopefully,
right?
You wouldn't go in and start rearranging things or opening their cabinets. And so
they wouldn't stay friends very long
yes,
if you did.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so we need to respect their privacy and their guidelines. Now that may have been kind of naturally assumed already in the relationship, mm-hmm. but it needs to be something that is clear. And we just simply say, ask,
yeah.
You know, if the kids got their toys all over the place and, you just want to help and say, is it okay mm-hmm. if we help pick up some of the toys, kids, or the kids' toys? That's just respectful,
yeah.
And honoring them. And so now if you go and stay with your kids for longer periods of time, you know, it may be trickier than just a day or so.
Mm-hmm.
And so there may be things about the laundry. There may be things about what are the normal routines of dishes and picking up things. And just having conversations, even at the beginning of the process, and say, how can we help? Are there things that mm-hmm. we can do to help? How do you want us to handle if we need to do some laundry? Is mm-hmm. it okay to use the laundry?
Yeah.
If there's stuff of yours in there, what do you want us to do with it? I mean, again, it's just as if we tell people, think if you were staying with just friends, mm-hmm. if you went and stayed in their home.
Or a couple you went to college with. If you were staying in their home, you'd be very respectful of what they do.
Yeah. So again, remember, it's their house.
Mm-hmm.
They get to set the rules and guidelines. They may not always make sense to you. It might not make sense to you why they don't want you to help clean up the dishes
mm-hmm.
or empty the dishwasher. But we respect their wishes. If they say, no, I'd rather you not do that, we respect it.
Yeah.
Don't think that, well, they really want help. They just don't want us to go to the trouble. No. We respect it.
Yes.
And
accept the yeses and accept the noes.
Yes. Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of the dishwasher, I can't help but think, gosh, how many times do we see clients in marriage counseling that they have a conflict over one of them doesn't load the dishwasher right?
Yes.
I'm like, they do load it right? And they're like, yes, but it's not the right way.
Right. Yes.
We all have differences.
Yes.
So adult children, even if the home of your parents is the one that you grew up in, even if they've lived there for a lot of years and you were always there growing up, they're now used to living alone. Or they're used to it being just the two of them. And with that comes a lot of peace and quiet, and things tend to stay neater. So your parents are used to a different way of living than how they lived when you were at home. But even if they were okay with noise and clutter and all the commotion of having a bunch of kids in the house when you were growing up, it may be different now. Life is different. Now, many of us are happy to leave the toys out and accept the messiness that grandkids bring, and we just go, oh, well, we'll clean it up when they leave. But others, it can cause stress. And so we need to live by parents' rules, what they do in their household or what they want while we're there visiting. It just helps us stay within positive relationships. Within positive relationships keeps our relationship more positive.
Yes.
But when in doubt, if you don't know what they want, you can always ask. It's really okay. I remember, gosh, I don't know how many years ago, but we had a woman over who had been our kids' babysitter when they were growing up. And I can't even remember whose small child was there, but they came in the living room with food. So they walked, the little child walked in the living room with food, and our babysitter was so funny. She jumped up and she goes, "No, no, 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 no. The rule in this house is you don't bring food in the living room." And I was like, yeah, that used to be the rule when we had four kids all living here, but now it's really fine. So sometimes the rules change. And so if, or guidelines, whatever you want to call it, if in doubt, ask. When we respect each other and each other's preferences, it leads to better holidays, birthdays, and the time that you get together as a family is just more peaceful and more precious.
And we always say that good fences make good neighbors. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to argue about whose tree it is on which side of the fence.
Right.
And so recognizing that with our kids, with our adult kids, is just, what are the fences? Mm-hmm. What are the appropriate boundaries and guidelines for our, for the home? And make sure that we respect that. Another thing is realize that your words have power. So remember, parents, you were the ones that trained them. Mm-hmm. You disciplined them when they were in their formative years. You told them no a whole bunch. trying to get them to not touch the stove when they were young could have easily come across like you were mad at them or that they were bad in some way. Even though we didn't think that, it certainly could come across that way. And yet we still had to be pretty forceful with it so they didn't burn their little hands off. And so recognizing that they are used to receiving that correction and guidance and even discipline, mm-hmm. and that's very powerful. That cemented in their little hearts.
Yeah.
Now in their big hearts. Mm-hmm. And so just be cautious with our words. Again, that was our job when they were 2 and 7 and 12, but it is not our job when they're 28 right. and 35. I had a couple that was 55 the other day dealing with parents that were trying to parent them still. You know, they were in their 90s. And,
yeah.
And so it's not our job. And so, you know, most of us have had those times when our parents casually or even unknowingly, now some do it on purpose, of course, we know that's a thing, but they've just made a comment about how we're living or how we're parenting, how we keep our house or how we look. That has caused a lot of pain. So mm-hmm. some of us remember that
yeah.
feeling of oh, well, you shouldn't do that, or why are you doing that, mm-hmm. or whatever. And so realize how that has affected us.
Yeah.
Realize how that can affect our kids. And so now we have to bring that up sometimes, you know, hopefully they'll mention that to us. Ouch. But not everybody does speak up. And so we need to regulate ourselves to be very cautious of tone of voice, how kind of questions that we ask and those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And so just really pay attention to that. And so, again, we're kind of going both ways here, but mm-hmm. we all know even as parents, our grown kids sometimes say some things, you know, casually that mm-hmm. can be, ouch, uh-huh. you know, a little hurtful. And so all this stuff is going to happen. I mean, life is a bit messy. Our goal is to try to prevent this. Mm-hmm. We certainly don't want to cause harm. We don't want there to even be an internal, without even being consciously aware of it, pulling back.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just kind of pull back from each other and don't even really know why. Mm-hmm. And so recognize that our words have incredible power.
Yeah.
As with all relationships, we need to remember to ask open-ended questions. We tell people all the time, be very careful of why questions.
Mm-hmm.
Why'd you do this? And why'd you do that? It always basically comes across like you've done something wrong.
Or you better explain to me that you have a good yes. rationale for doing
yeah, you
that.
Need to justify this
yeah.
in some way. And so just try to eliminate all why mm-hmm. questions. So instead of why are you putting the kids in that school, maybe it's, so what are the things that you like about that school? So we can get a little bit of understanding of maybe why they chose that. That's okay. But it's a what are things, or you know, I'd love to hear this instead of why are you doing this? And if they say, I don't know, we just decided to, it's basically saying, I don't want to talk to you about this.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to justify this. They have the right to make decisions about their children.
Even though they're your grandchildren, they are still the ones that are doing the active parenting.
Yes.
And so our business is to stay out of it, bring toys, and be very loving.
So things like, what are you all thinking about Christmas this year? Maybe instead of, or are you coming to Christmas at our house this year? What are the plans this weekend? Instead of certainly, you guys are so busy, you never have time for us anymore. You know, and so we want to talk with them, not at them.
Yes.
And we, in recognizing how powerful our words are, certainly we realize this in a negative way or a hurtful way, but realize that our words have some of the most powerful in a positive way.
Yeah.
You can speak, I always tell married couples, you have the most powerful human voices in each other's life. And we can build them up better than anybody else, and we can knock their legs out from them faster than anybody else. Well, that's true in parents with their adult children. We can speak positive things to them in some ways that can be more powerful than anybody else's words. And we always say we want to talk about positive history. We want to talk about the past in a positive way. We're not always just bringing up the things that they messed up on or telling funny stories about them where they did something silly. Or stupid, but we talk about the good that we saw in them growing up and talk about a positive present. Look for every possible opportunity where you can compliment them on anything that they're doing now. That's life-giving to them, and it also draws them in. And then how do we see a positive future for them? How do we see their gifts and talents, their relationships, working toward a good end in the future? And so we always can be speaking, all of those things speak life to them. So a positive past, positive current things, and how we see the positive in the future. Now, again, this doesn't mean we don't ever have conflict with our adult kids. That's a whole nother thing. But we've done a whole thing on issue resolution and even in marriage, well, the same kind of principles would apply. If we need to sit down and talk to them about something, again, it's a very respectful, honoring way to even talk about conflict. But for the most part, it's how do we speak life to them?
Yeah.
So we've talked about doing this in marriage before, but one of the things to think about here is with your adult kids is think about, this is just a practical strategy to help implement your positive attitude towards them. Because what we focus on determines our attitude. So if I focus on all the things that are irritating to me, I will have a negative attitude towards them. Mm-hmm. But if I think about the positive, so we encourage people to think of the top 5 or top 10 qualities that you see with each of your children, your adult children. And just try writing it out on a card or putting it in your phone someplace. And see what happens if for 30 days, we just simply read over that. I always say kind of pray over that list with a thankful heart. Lord, thank you for so-and-so. So thankful for these qualities that I see in them. And we've been amazed at how that can just begin to shift our attitude towards someone just in 30 days. Now, it doesn't mean we stop at the end of 30 days, but it's how do we keep that positive view of them in our heart and in our mind, and then look for ways that we can actually verbally affirm them. Mm-hmm. Again, you are one of the most significant voices in their life. Just realize how powerful that is.
Yeah. Now we get to the favorite part. My favorite
your
part.
Your favorite part, yes.
And it's the most important thing we can
of
do.
Of course.
Because it's my favorite,
it's your favorite part.
And that is have fun with your children and your grandchildren. Nobody wants to go to grandma and grandpa's house and sit in a chair and just look at each other. How often do you hear kids over the years have said, it's so boring to go over there. We want to have fun. Though I did think of a funny story that I heard about 3 months ago that I thought was really good. It was friends of friends, so who knows? It might be a made-up story, but okay. I don't think so.
We'll take it.
So they would go to one of their parents' house. And every time they went, the parents had all of them just sit in the living room and they all just kind of sat in straight chairs and looked at each other. And it just got to where they were like, we hate going there. The kids don't want to go there. It's so boring. And we just feel like we can't move or we'll mess something up. And so one day they said to the parents, you know what? We just think from now on, you guys should come to our house, or maybe we should go out and meet in public somewhere.
The park or something.
Yes. Yeah. And the parents were like, well, they found out.
They were very relieved.
Yes, they were very relieved. But what the kids found out was that their parents, when they knew their grandkids were coming, they took all of their furniture from the living room and put it in the garage and swapped it out with an old set of furniture so the kids wouldn't mess it up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So
hopefully this is an extreme story.
I'm pretty sure it is. Oh my God. Our goal is to have fun with our kids. Yeah. Determining our roles in their life or determining what they should be doing and how they should live, those days are over.
Those are over.
Now it's the time that we can enjoy enjoyable experiences.
Enjoyable experiences.
I was coming up with a new word there.
New words. We can come up with new words. Okay. That's all right. That's all right.
You know, I think one of the things that a lot of parents miss out on that was such a joy to us is the stage of when you have kids that are adults, but they don't have kids
yet.
Whether they're single or married, either one. Yeah. We had a time where...
We had lots of fun. Yeah.
Oh, we had so much fun. And our kids were all... I mean, I think our youngest one was in high school, but they were all adults at the same time. And so we got to do things like... we would go to several major cities. Remember, we took the train to Chicago one time. Yeah, we would go up to Kansas City. I mean, we just had times where we were all adults. And so we could stay in a hotel and... got them their rooms. If we were shopping or if we were going to coffee shops or whatever we were doing, museums.
We did go to all of the specialty coffee shops in all these major cities because our kids grew up in the coffee generation for sure.
As our daughter said, you don't understand. My parents, this is what she told her in-laws. My parents vacation. We like go to a big city and we get coffee and then we go to a museum and then we get coffee and then we walk around for a while and we get coffee. Which was so true.
Oh my gosh.
But it's so great in that stage. Mm-hmm. And I think people miss that because they either have vacations with their little kids or their kids while they're at home or once they have grandkids. But it's so nice to all be adults. And then if we want to go to bed, we can just go to bed. And if they want to go to a midnight movie, they can do that.
Knock yourself out.
It really is a positive thing. And we enjoyed that because they were mature enough to be on their own. Now, after that time, we had, for 5 years, we had one grandchild. Mm-hmm. And we had fun doing things with her, too. I mean, it was always kind of funny because we had five couples and one child at the zoo.
Did she get spoiled?
She got a lot of attention, and we looked a little bit funny, going, Lucy, Lucy, look over here, look over here. But it really was a fun time to have that one. Now, since we've had five more in the last 5 years that are currently 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yep.
We have to look for different ways that we can do things and find things that are fun but are geared towards their age. So, you know, grandparenting is one of the best things in the world. And so I tell people don't rush your kids to get married or to have kids because each stage in life with your kid is such a great time. So it's celebrating that time in the best way that you know how. You know, one of the things we used to do, but we've gotten out of the habit of it, is we used to play board games. And I loved that. And then this Christmas, one of our kids brought up playing a game. And so we got out the old marbles and the Wahoo board that we used for years. And we had so much fun playing that game. Now, one of the best things about being a parent is you don't have to let them win. You can get them out if you want to.
Absolutely.
And you can do a little trash talking.
Yeah.
Like, you're going down. You hurt me, so you are going down. Don't you dare knock my marble off of there.
I wasn't very happy when you were siding with some of these adult children against me. That wasn't exactly very appreciative, but anyway, we had a great time.
We had a great time, and you won a lot last time. We were in Nashville last weekend or 2 weekends ago, And our son had actually bought a wooden version, a new version of the game. And so we played some games, and Brent was winning all the time. And Spencer was kind of mean to me a couple times. And so, Spencer, next time I come, you're going down. I'm winning everything.
That's right.
So another thing we've enjoyed is just being able to travel together, whether we're going to a family event or whatever travel that is. We went to, I know, my mom's 92nd birthday last year. Went to Indianapolis and rented a big house for everybody. And we're still working, and so we could do that.
Now,
a few years from now, we might have to split the cost. They are all well capable of splitting the cost.
Yes.
But, and it doesn't have to be costly, but it was just having everybody there. Again, the key is flexibility, not expecting everybody to do everything exactly the same time in the same way. Got to work around kids' naps and nutritional things and all this kind of stuff. But if there's flexibility, respect, not forcing, you know, the hand and making everybody, you know, do things a certain way.
And getting
really
a place
wonderful.
Big enough that they had privacy.
Yes,
that if they wanted
sure.
to get away, they could, and that their kids could sleep because they weren't all crammed together in one room.
Some families like camping. You know, that's not necessarily been
I've
a thing
heard of
for
that.
Us. Because camping for you is generally a hotel that doesn't have a robe.
Yeah,
provide
pretty much.
Robes, and it is farther than a mile away from a specialty coffee shop.
Right.
You know? It's kind of,
I just think that is civilization.
That's right.
Yeah. Anything out of that is
there's
but some no
enjoy, you know, being able to go tent camping together or RV camping together or whatever. And so finding something and prioritizing these moments where we can all do some life together, you know, and not most families we know, their kids are not down the street, you know, they oftentimes live different places, but getting creative, finding places that we can meet. And making sure that, again, in those moments that we're creating experiences, we're respecting everybody's boundaries so that they're going to want to do this again. The last thing we want is kids doing something like this out of obligation.
Right.
That, well, our parents want us to do this again.
But we're going to do that again.
Always a mess, you know, whatever. But just creating opportunities. And the key is through respect, respecting everybody, every individual that's involved. And finding common ground, finding ways that we can have some joint things and people can have their own things at times, and we respect all of that.
And sometimes we have to experience something to see if we like it or not. I mean, one of the things I've grown to love is if we're in Nashville when there's a playoff game of either basketball or football, I love that because I love how excited they get, you know, everybody cheering for a certain team or trash talking somebody else about their team. I just love that interaction. And so it can be something
that's not the most important thing to you, the game itself.
Oh, let's see. Yes, it is. Taylor Swift was at the Super Bowl. So yes, it is.
Oh,
one thing I've had some clients tell me is that, in fact, I had one this year tell me that all of her family from across the United States, and I think it was four kids and a number of children and grandparents, all came and stayed in their house.
Okay.
And that can be good, very good for some families. It can be a disaster in the making for others. And so we do need to be aware of that and give up the idea, if your family's not comfortable doing that, it's okay. You just find something else to do rather than do that. But I thought she was very brave. We just have to be aware of people's privacy needs and their alone time. But another thing we have to keep in mind with adult children and families as we're trying to interact is how much vacation time they have available. Because some people have pretty flexible schedules and they can take a long weekend or a week off to go with the family somewhere. Other people have a very limited amount of vacation time. And so if they spend too much time doing large family events, they don't get a chance for their small family to get away and do things. And they need to have the right to spend the time with their kids and just them alone as much as they want to. There's also an issue sometimes with financial resources. You know, different people have different jobs and different finances. And so we've got to be sensitive to that and not plan something and expect everybody to split the cost when one of them makes half of what the other one does. So being very, very aware of that. We don't ever want to do anything or push anybody to do anything that would cause them strain or stress in any ways. But there's a number of things that we can do besides some of those things. We can go to the zoo. We can go to the museum. We like going to the aquarium here with our kids. Go to a park with everybody. It doesn't have to be expensive. You can have a potluck at a park or a backyard picnic. You could go on a family hike. Some people are going, ugh. You could go on a family bike ride, but if I did, I probably would die. And so so we don't do that. But you could go bowling and ask your kids for ideas. What do they want to do? What would be good for them as a family? And kids, ask your parents what they would like to do so we can come up with something that's good for all of us. Jim Burns wrote a book I referred to, Doing Life with Your Adult Children. And he said, words don't lead to connection, but enjoyable connections lead to words. Yeah. They say that one of the top 10 traits of healthy families is play. Play is like love currency. It like goes in their love bank and it goes in your love bank. Those are memories that we make that will stay with them and that really help us connect more and help us relate to each other in different ways.
Very good. So as we've talked just about a few things here today on how we as parents can nurture our relationship with our adult children, so many of the keys are respecting them, respecting their boundaries, speaking positive and speaking life, recognizing the power of our words, and learn how to play.
Play.
Learn how to play and have fun and creating opportunities for memories.
Yes.
So next time we're going to look, we're going to reverse this a bit and look at, for all of you adult children. How do you look to your parents and how do you bring strength?
And how do we accept them as people?
Yes.
You know, you get to a certain point where you go, oh, my parents are people.
They are people.
And so it's accepting them as people with their flaws and their strengths and everything else that comes with being human.
So we'll talk about that a little bit more next time. So for today, go in peace. Blessings as you go.
The Life and Love Nuggets podcast should not be considered or used for counseling, but for educational purposes only. We'll be right back.